Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Do me a favor, look at the person you are sitting next to, look him in the eye, and tell him you look marvelous, simply marvelous. It is so good to be back, and I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment to say thank you to Pastor David and Pastor Kim. How many of you absolutely love them? Okay, I'm gonna try this again. I'm gonna say it again, and I want y'all to give them a round of applause. How many of you appreciate Pastor David and Pastor Kim? Absolutely. Some of the finest human beings you will ever meet, some of the finest human beings who just love people. And whenever I come here to Church on the Rock, this is like a snapshot of what heaven is going to be like. So I have a question for you, and this question is very simple. Who is guiding the sea vessel of your soul? Is it God, or is it the headlines of the day? I want to start with our scripture to set the foundation, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. And it says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Be on guard, be watchful means to stay alert against the distractions and temptations of the adversary. Standing firm is to remain grounded in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, not just mentally, but practically, and how we show up every single day. Theologian John Stott says, hold your position like a soldier under fire. Be courageous. N.T. Wright, professor and biblical scholar, says, Paul calls believers to spiritual adulthood. Be strong reminds me of Professor David Garland, who is professor of Christian studies at Baylor University. He says, draw on divine strength, not human power. So when we decide to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we are anchored to God. And when we are anchored to God, we amplify Jesus. So the question becomes, what causes individuals now, for whatever reason, to not necessarily be anchored in their faith, anchored in following after God? And what you will see is there are things that are stretching people, financially stretched, individuals who are emotionally exhausted. And when you think about being financially stretched, how many of you know somebody that's financially stretched right now? Yes, we all may know somebody, a family member, a friend, but here's also what I want you to share with them is that they may have limited resources, but they serve a limitless God. And when we tap into a limitless God, God will never, ever forsake us. I remember 22 years ago when I was working at Disney, I decided to leave Disney 22 years ago to become a solopreneur. And in 22 years, I've had to reinvent 5 to 6 different times because of things that have happened in the world. But the one thing I committed to is that I will never stop giving to God, paying tithes, and paying offerings, because God's economy is a different economy. And I just want to let you know there is someone here today that you've been questioning, can I still give at the level that I've been giving? And I said, don't you stop giving because of the headlines of the day. If anything, I want you to go in deeper. There's somebody that you are sitting here today and God is about to give you supernatural access to people that you don't have access to, all because you have been faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. Don't you stop giving up on God now because of a headline.
I want you to change the channel, watch this, on the television. Because life is not a remote control, you can change the channel.
Here's the other interesting thing. I'm gonna try to keep myself calm and act like I got good sense, you know.
You know I don't get out much.
In the book, Shift Your Brilliance, I introduce a concept called Vuja Day. Vuja Day is the opposite of? Deja vu means been there, done that, but Vuja Day is going there, doing that. People who have the Vuja Day mindset, who are anchored to God, when the world is zigging, they zag. They go the opposite way. Why is that important? Because I am convinced, despite what you have read in the headlines about the market is down, somebody is making money. It might as well be you. I just need you. I have any folks here this morning that said it might as well be me. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says God will give you hidden riches in secret places. So in other words, God knows where all the money is, where all the breakthroughs are. One more thing. The top 1% in a down market ask a question: what is undervalued right now and what is everyone overlooking? I want you to begin to say to yourself, God, what am I missing? Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach you what you don't know about. When we look at this thing of emotional exhaustion, we notice that according to the research from Gallup organization, roughly 7 out of 10 people, as they have surveyed 190 countries, are dealing with stress, high anxiety, borderline depression. So in other words, everybody is going through something. But people of faith who are anchored to God recognize wherever they show up that they are healing presence. And I believe the Father is calling all of us right now, wherever we show up, when we walk into the room, the atmosphere has to change because of who we are and whose we are. When we walk into the room, something has got to be different, because I'm not settling for the negativity today. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I have found my inner Rambo. I put a knife between my teeth, and everything has got to change. Oh, I'm a little excited. Let me just calm down. Yeah. People are spiritually disconnected. There's research out from the Pew Research that says there is a population called the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, and they refer to individuals who identify as being religiously unaffiliated. They encompass atheists, agnostics, and those who select nothing in particular when asked about their religious affiliation. And that's why I think those who have a relationship, how many of y'all, can I say y'all, I live in the South. Does y'all translate here in St. Louis? Okay.
You know you gotta check. He said y'all. Who was his English teacher? Okay.
How many of y'all have a relationship? A relationship with God? The difference between religion in a relationship is at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can say, Jesus. And I will get an answer, because he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. So those who are religiously unaffiliated, what we have to do, because you spend more time in the marketplace than you do in the church, in the words of Pat Morley, understand that your life might be the only Bible that people read. So if people don't know anything about God, if they're religiously unaffiliated, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to smile. I'm going to say, how are you? I'm not going to beat you over the head with the Bible. I'm going to let my work speak for itself. And as my work speaks for itself, it's going to open a door for you to begin to ask me, why are you so happy? Why are you so optimistic? Why are you so other? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, I met a man one day who turned my life around. Y'all have to excuse me, because a few years ago, I got diagnosed with prostate cancer. I was about to give up. I was on the borderline of suicide, but I went to the house of God, a place that was built on the rock, and I reminded myself, oh my God, I reminded myself
that my mother used to tell me that at 3 o'clock in the morning, she would come in the room, she would take some oil, and she would pray over me. She reminded me that my grandmother for 40 years absolutely prayed for me every single day. What's the point? I'm here today, not only healed, but I'm living on the compound interest of prayer. Compound interest of prayer. Oh my God. We got to keep going. We got some ground to cover. So wherever you are right now, here's what I want you to know, especially those of you professionally where you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. When God closes a door, he will open another door. That place of business is not your source. It's just a stop along the way. So your responsibility is to be faithful, to show up, to give 100%, to be the best of the best, to operate in a spirit of excellence, because Church on the Rock, that's who you are. And what's the point? Excellence is early. Relationally, one of the challenges that I've had relationally, my brother and I, have had to come together. He's 8 years younger than me, and I have had an arm's length relationship with him. Is this too much for y'all? I know, you know, some people like to be deep, but I like to keep it real. So love God, go to church, speak in tongues, pay tithes, but can't talk to my brother. How many realize there's a problem with that? So I had to go to God, and God began to work on my heart. And our mother, who's now in the fourth quarter of her life, we don't know when she will go home to see the Lord. She's in dialysis 3 times a week. We've had to check in a little bit more. And checking in a little bit more starts with, how are you? But as I have forgiven him, and I'm asking, how are you? We're now saying at the end of the conversation, I love you. Now, you know, for another man, say, hey, man, I love you, man. Man, I love you. You know, guys don't do that. But what I recognize is when we are in relationship with God, I can't be in relation with God and not have a friendship and a relationship with my brother. So I had to get that right. So the question becomes, okay, all right, what is an anchor? If we're going to be anchored to God, and if you are capturing notes, an anchor is stability that prevents drifting, okay? So a mental anchor, how many of you remember going to school and we learned I before E? Yes, mental anchor. An emotional anchor, my father would say, the best hand that will feed you in any economy is the one at the end of your wrists. Became an anchor for me to think about that I needed to do something. I need to make some things happen. And then a visual anchor, red light means, green light means, so the self-awareness to know that when I pull up to a light, I honor the light. And that mental anchor allows me to go from the gas to the brake. And then when it turns green, I understand how to move forward. But also, as I begin to think about this anchor, I recognize that God has given us what I would call the GPS of the soul. And the GPS of the soul is God's positioning system. So yet you're anchored to God, but sometimes God has to reposition you for where you're going, because where you have been has served its purpose. There are some of you sitting here right now where there are some things that have reached a natural expiration date. There are some of you that want to start a business, but you're saying because of what the economy is doing, it's probably not the right time to start. I just came all the way from Orlando, Florida with my Godiva tan to let you know that there will never be a perfect time for you to move into what God has for you, because what God has for you it's for you. Everybody that has been assigned to aid and help you, when you pay attention to God's positioning system, will show up at a place called there. But what God is helping you to realize that you may not have the money, but you don't need the money. You need a relationship. And the relationship is in repositioning. Where is God repositioning right now? Because I submit to you, everybody assigned to aid and help you is going to show up when you get there. So how do I stay anchored? I stayed anchored as a result of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that allows me to stay anchored. Now, here's the research. A study of 40,000 Americans found major transformation begins on day 4 of reading Scripture. It's called the power of the four feck. It found that there is little impact if you read the Bible one day, second day, third day. It's the fourth day. So this ability to say, you know what? I'm going to get to the fourth day. I'm going to read the Word of God. How many of you use the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app? Absolutely love it. And how many of you are on a Bible plan? Absolutely awesome. So you've noticed when you are reading the Word of God each day, it's transforming you from the inside out. You have better behavior. You smile more. Everybody just smile. Just smile. Just smile right now. All right, you just increase your face value. That's a bad dad joke. But the ability to read the Word of God literally transforms us from the inside out. So let me give you something practical. As you think about reading the Word of God, do you carve out 15 minutes at the very beginning of the day to just be in the Word? Because how you start the day determines the day. And that commitment, I was with John Maxwell a few weeks ago, and he says something so profound. He said, consistency compounds over time. So this ability to submit yourself to the Word allows you to stay rooted and planted in God. But here's the next thing. Here's the next thing. When we understand the Word of God, we offer worship to God. In a groundbreaking study from Harvard, T.H. Chan School of Public Health, led by Professor Tyler Vanderweel, they tracked over 74,000 women for 16 years and found something extraordinary. Those who attended religious services at least once a week had a 33% lower risk of early death compared to those who didn't. So in other words, worship activates the feel-good chemicals and improves our well-being. Worship is spiritual, biological, psychological, and deeply transformational. Worship, prayer, and singing releases endorphins and oxytocin, which is the body's natural feel-good chemical. In other words, worship can literally save your life. It reduces depression, inflammation, and isolation. Worship is not just music, it's medicine. So in other words, when I begin to worship God and I have the Word of God, I begin to understand that there's new synapses created in my brain. And when new synapses create a neural pathway, all of a sudden the traffic jam in the mind begins to clear out because you're saying, body, we will worship the Lord up in here, up in here. When you begin to worship the Lord, you say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In other words, the Word and worship begin to connect to align head. Everybody say head, heart, hands. And when my head, heart, and hands get on the same page, they send a message to the central nervous system that says, God is getting ready to do something up in here, up in here. I know that might be a little dramatic for y'all, but I just want to let you know, when Jesus has saved your life, you get a fit of I can't help myself. So don't be surprised if this week, when you go to your retail location and you're walking down the aisle, and because of how the Word and worship has so manifested in your life, if you feel after you're walking down aisle 8, your hand just slip up. Thank you. Don't mind me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Everybody walking around on eggshells, gotta be nice. Gotta say that. Jesus saves. That's what's up. Is this helping anybody? You know, the first service I was getting to know y'all again. The second service, I decided to let down my hair a little bit. The little that I have. Okay. So after we understand the word of God, worship, how do we literally become walking as God's hands and feet? Joyce Meyer says, God goes nowhere unless we take him. Pastor David says on page 25, God is for you. Our core beliefs determine the strength of our walk with God. Your life lived in service becomes an anchor for others. So how we show up in the marketplace, that's how people know God. So here's something practical that we can do. How many of y'all are going to lunch this afternoon? When you go to lunch this afternoon, and if your budget can manage it, I want you to pay for somebody's lunch today. Ask the server, what other tables do you have? Ask the Holy Spirit, which table should I pay for? And tell the server, bring me the check, I'm gonna pay for it, and don't tell them who paid for it, because they don't need to know. This is between you and God. This is not a social media post. This is not a comment. This is not trying to get likes and reshares. No, this is because God has been so good to me, and I am the walking hands and feet of God in the marketplace. So the question becomes, okay, great. We got it, Simon. But why stay anchored to God now more than ever before? And it's because there is a word that I created called driftitis. Driftitis is in the land because people are tired, burnt out, discouraged, numb. They show up, lights are on, but nobody's at home. Elevator doesn't quite go to the top. One fry short of a picnic. You got the picture, right? And they show up at a place called work, and they are confused about their career. They work hard enough to do a job and do just enough to keep them getting fired. They go through the motions. They're not giving it at all because something has caused them to drift. And then when you look at this from a relationship standpoint, is that you are no longer talking. And if I can just say one of my greatest failures and what caused me to be stuck from a relationship standpoint is that I was going to church, but whenever something didn't go my way in my relationship, I would shut down. I did not use my words. And my silence talked so loud until I was invited to go to a therapist. And no man wants to go and talk to a therapist named Anita, who's been practicing therapy for 40 years and has more degrees than a thermostat. And Anita said to me, whatever you don't deal with will eventually deal with you. In other words, she was saying, if you don't like what you are receiving, look at what you're putting out.
And what I began to recognize that there was some work that I had to do. She said, there's a lot of research that has come out about fathers and daughters. There's emerging research about mothers and sons, and you have been mama to death. And until you begin, is this helping anybody? I'm still talking about being anchored to God. Is this practical? Is this too real? Okay. So what I recognize is something happened, and I had to call my mom. And my mother said to me, I've been waiting to have this conversation with you for 35 years. Because I had showed up one way, but I had a mother wound that needed to be healed. I sense your Holy Spirit. This is helping somebody in this room right now. So as I begin to talk to Mama, Mama began to relate to me some things that had happened. And I was able to get re-anchored to my relationship with God when I got it right with Mama. Anchoring to God is not just doing, but it's about being aware as to where am I right now? What is it that I need to do? There's a story of a man who forgot his anchor. His name was Jordan, and Jordan slowly drifted. He let algorithms replace his anchor. He scrolled more than he prayed. He forgot the GPS of his soul. Without realizing it, his phone became his compass. But the phone was feeding him fear, not direction. Confusion, not truth. Noise, not God. And slowly, he drifted. And the phone has been set up to addict you to it, to follow your behavior like a drug addict, and you don't know why you can't stop scrolling. And every time you get up, you have scrollitis where you're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and you're wasting time. Pornography is rampant upon the land because you don't have to go to the retail store to buy a magazine. It's on your phone. The devil is a liar. Some of you parents in here, you got children that will talk back to you using your hot water, eating your food, using your air conditioner, driving your car. And got enough nerve to cop an attitude, say, I will take your phone from you and you will not get it back until I deem your attitude has changed. That's where we are now. The phone, I gotta hang right here. What causes people to drift, it doesn't happen overnight. It's little, small, unchecked decisions every day. And those unchecked decisions every day become a mountain of, well, you know, I just don't love her anymore. You know, I'm just not feeling anymore because you have filled a void by being fed something because of an algorithm that understands how you are wired and the dopamine hit and the dopamine rush that you get. Oh, this feels good. They just DM'd me. I got to respond back. That's not normal. That's not natural. That is the devil causing you to drift from God. And it's called algorithm addiction. That's right. And what we have to begin to say, we got to take control of this. Amen. Right here, right now. Where are all the grandparents in the room? Grandparents in the room. Grandparents in the room, I want to invite you the next time your grandbabies come over. Before they come over, I want you to go to your favorite retail store and I want you to buy a bottle of oil. And when they come over, I want you to begin to anoint their head and begin to speak over their lives, begin to declare the blood of Jesus Christ, that they have come from a rich heritage that is built on the rock, and that rock is Jesus. And I want you to start praying over them.
grandparents. Grandparents, I want you to take it a step further. I want you to say to your children, get your phone, go on the video function, and I want you to video me telling our family story about how God brought us from here to there and how God is going to take us forward. I want you to take that story, that video, and ask your children to put it on YouTube so that the children that are out of town, they can get a link that said, Grandmama said, Granddaddy said that if God be for us, who can be against us? We come from good stock. We're built on good heritage. And when everything else is going to hell, we're going to look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
Where are my entrepreneurs in the room? Entrepreneurs, get your hands up. Entrepreneurs, in this season, some of you need to double your prices. You're probably saying, Simon, why? That's crazy. Because just because everybody else is going down doesn't mean you need to cut your price. Give more value and people will pay for value. Don't drift back because it's a race to the bottom. How do we increase what we do and do it even better? Where are all my folks that work a job in here? W-2 folks. Tomorrow morning, I want you to show up 15 minutes early.
They don't pay me to show up 15 minutes. I want you to show up 15 minutes early because we are Church on the Rock. That's how we roll.
And not only do I want you to show up 15 minutes early, I want you to go to your boss and say, what can I take off your plate? If you don't work, if you work virtually or hybrid, get on Zoom. What can I take off your plate? How can I help you be more successful? Because when you're anchored to God, you are totally other. You are different. You are like no one else. Here's the other thing. Before your head hits the pillow tonight, I want you to pray to the Holy Spirit, W-2 folks, and I want you to say, Holy Spirit, how can I help this company thrive? Give me an insight. How can I help this company make money or save money? Now you might say, Simon, I'm not a W-2. I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm kind of retired or rewired. Because you do know that 80 is the new 60. And 70 is the new 50. And 60 is the new 40. So you're just like a fine wine. You get better with time. I want you to find a young person or a young couple, and I want you to begin to pour into them. Begin to tell them all the things you wish somebody would have told you when you were their age. Meet them for coffee. And young person, when you meet them for coffee, you pay for the coffee. Don't mooch, let you pay for the coffee and say, I'm gonna be a blessing to you. Let me say this, thank you, Holy Spirit. There are some mothers in here. How many of you mothers have got teenagers that act like they have lost their mind? Got a few teenagers. Okay. All right, to all the mamas and daddies that got teenagers that looked like they went whack crazy, I want you to go to your favorite retail location, buy a jar of oil, and I want you to go in their room when they're not there. And I want you to anoint that room, the pillow, their clothes, that entire room. This old school. They don't need to go to therapy. They need to be delivered by Jesus. So you go, listen, you know, if you was in New Orleans, you know, in New Orleans, before you were saved, they'd give you a little something. But now that you know Jesus, we got the oil. And we're going to anoint their clothes and everything they put their hands to. And you start believing God for a change. Now, real quick, I got to give you some things. And then I got to get out of your way because I know I stand between you and brunch. Grow consistently. A man was working at a company and he left that company to go to another company, and the hiring company said, we need to call and get a reference on you. The manager from the new company calls the old company, gets the manager on the line, say, I want to verify that this gentleman worked for you for 25 years. And the manager said, yes, he worked 1 year, repeated 25 times. So growing consistently is, how am I growing, unlearning, relearning, not settling for the way it's always been done? When you stop reading, you stop leading. So what am I doing to grow and to expand and not just be in the same place this time next year? But here's the other interesting thing. What can we do to live intentionally? I would invite you to consider writing down or capturing the numbers 15-7-30-90. So I've already said 15 minutes a day reading the word, starting off with God, but thinking about that 7 days a week, 30 days, 90 days. All right, now let's unpack this. How many quarters are there in a year? How many seasons are there in a year? All right, I live in Florida. There are two seasons, hot and hotter, okay? What I'm challenging us to think about, Church on the Rock, from today forward, live our life in quarters. How did I get to this quarter? What have I been doing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically? How am I living intentionally? How did I get to 30 days? How did I get to 7 days? 15 minutes a day. Can I carve out 15 minutes a day? And I promise you, here's what will happen. You start out with 15 minutes of just word and worship. 15 minutes goes to 20. 20 goes to 30. Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. You begin to realize that, yes, God is for me. The more I spend time with him, the more I get to learn what he is all about and how much he loves me. So I'm living intentionally. Starting with the 15 minutes a day. And then here's the final one. Share effortlessly. Sharing effortlessly. How many of y'all believe that we need kindness in the world right now? Kindness. Kindness is everything. I said to my children, Daniel 26, Madison 22. I said, if there's anything I want, yeah, you can go to college and you can get degrees. That's great. But can you just be nice and kind? Please, thank you. How can I serve you? I said, that will get you further in life than all of the education you have if you understand how to represent God in the marketplace, being anchored to him. So practical things. The next time you're in the grocery store, I want you to see who's coming behind you and kind of size up how much you think those groceries are and slip an extra 20 or two to the cashier and say, take care of their groceries, and then run out of the store because you don't need public recognition. The next time you are in line to get some coffee and there's a car behind you, pay for the car's coffee behind you, then drive off because you don't need no recognition. The world needs kindness. The next time you are thinking about posting on social media, post a scripture, post something that lifts people up, that causes people to say, God is still good. He is still alive. I want you to think about, how do we help not homeless, unhoused individuals? I want you to go through your closet because there's some things you can give away. How can we help and come from a place of kindness? And here's why. So when I was growing up in Buffalo, New York, I've lived in Orlando, Florida for 33 years, but I can remember vividly, if I go back 50 years ago, I know I look 40 in my mind. But I can remember the old mothers of the church would stand up and they had the hymnal. And they would say, turn to such and such page, and the congregation would join in and sing this song that was written in 1834, 191 years ago, by a gentleman named Pastor Edward Mote of Rehoboth Baptist Church in Horsham, West Sussex. The song is, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.